ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 54, Text 49. Tasmad Agyanajam Shokam Atmashosha Vimohanam Tattva Gyanena Niriritya Swastha Bhava शुचिस्मिते। तस्मादज्ञानजं शोकम् आत्मशोषविमोहनम् तत्वज्ञानेन निरृत्या स्वस्था भव शुचिस्मिते। तस्मादज्ञानजं शोकम् आत्मशोषविमोहनम् तत्वज्ञानेन निरृत्या स्वस्था भव शुचिस्मिते। तस्मादज्ञानजं शोकम् आत्मशोषविमोहनम् तत्वज्ञानेन निरृत्या स्वस्था भव शुचिस्मिते। तस्मादज्ञानजं शोकम् विमोहनम् तत्वज्ञानेन निरृत्या स्वस्था भव शुचिस्मिते। तस्मादज्ञानजं शोकम् आत्मशोषविमोहनम् तत्वज्ञानेन निरृत्या स्वस्था भव शुचिस्मिते। तस्मादज्ञानजं शोकम् आत्मशोषविमोहनम् तत्वज्ञानेन निरृत्या स्वस्था भव शुचिस्मिते। तस्मादज्ञानजं शोकम् तत्वज्ञानेन निरृत्या स्वस्था भव शुचिस्मिते। माताजी, तस्मादज्ञानजं शोकम् आत्मशोषविमोहनम् తత్వజ్ఞానేన నిర్ధృత్య స్వస్థా భవ శుచిస్మితే తస్మాదజ్ఞానజం శోకం ఆత్మశోష విమోహనం తత్వజ్ఞానేన నిర్ధృత్య స్వస్థా భవ శుచిస్మితే తస్మాత్ దేర్ఫోర్ అజ్ఞాన ఔట్ ఆఫ్ ఇగ్నోరెన్స్ జం బాన్ శోకం ద లెమెంటేషన్ ఆత్మ యువర్ సెల్ఫ్ శోష డ్రాయింగ్ అప్ విమోహనం and bewildering tatva of the truth gyanena with knowledge niriritya dispelling swastha reinstated in your natural mood bhava please be shuchi smite o you whose smile is pure. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Therefore, with transcendental knowledge, dispel the grief that is weakening and confounding your mind. Please resume your natural mood, O Princess of the Pristine Smile. This is Lord Balaram speaking. Purport. Lord Balaram reminds Srimati Rukmini that she is the eternal goddess of fortune, performing pastimes with the Lord in this world, and should thus give up her so-called grief. Vandeyam Shri Guru Shri Juta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనసహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణపదాన్ సహగణలలితా శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయా చక్షురున్మిలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః శ్రీచైతన్య మనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూప కదామయ్యం దాతి స్వపదాంతికం నమాం విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణప్రేష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామీనితి నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతే దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశతారిణే వంశకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్యేవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః జై శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర్ శ్రీవాసది గౌర భక్త వృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే So these are the last verses of chapter 54, and next chapter actually will begin the history of Pradyumna, Krishna and Rukmini's son. Today's verse describes Lord Balram trying to pacify Rukmini Devi. It's surprising that he is telling her to use transcendental knowledge, dispel the grief that is weakening and confounding her, and telling her to resume her natural mood. Obviously, this has nothing to do with Rukmini's transcendental nature. She is the goddess of fortune. She doesn't need any kind of reminder. But this is a model which is used in Vedic literature. And Srila Prabhupada gave it a very Indianized kind of treatment when he said that many of you who are daughter-in-laws, you will understand it better, that the mother-in-law is looking at her own daughter and telling her that tomorrow when you go to your husband's house, don't behave like this. Don't behave like this. Behave like this. Keep everything clean. Be very truthful, obedient to your husband. Keep everyone happy. Cook properly. Learn how to cook properly. So the daughter is listening. But more than the daughter-in-law also is listening very intently. Because actually she knows this is meant for me. I think in all over India, this can be understood very easily. There are many sayings. So similarly, when we read Vedic literature, we have to understand things in their proper perspective. When Krishna calls Arjuna, "Oh, you are such a fool," We may appreciate that. Actually, there is a this feeling is predominantly in subordinates. They like to see their superiors sometimes chastised by their superiors. Every morning I go to one garden and there is a supervisor and he has about 8 or 10 workers under him. So the other day I heard the supervisor shout from a distance telling this person, "As soon as you finish that, come over here. There is a lot of work to be done." And he was very close to me, the subordinate. So he said, "Oh yes, yes, I am coming." And to himself he is muttering, "Why don't you also do some work?" So it's the feeling that we are the ones who are doing everything and these people don't have any work and they just bark orders. But it's not true. In fact, a superior is chosen a superior because he carries out orders of a higher nature. Srila Prabhupada must have seen this in courts. I have never been to one, so I don't know that happens today also. But there is a clerk who is supposed to take notes, and there is somebody who is supposed to stamp all the official papers of a particular lawsuit. So in a lecture, Prabhupada said that here is this person for 8 hours a day, like he has something like 600-800 papers It happens like that. He has to stamp. So he works all day. He doesn't know what he is stamping and it goes to which place and what's going to happen with that. But he just has to give that official stamp. And the magistrate just comes, sits there and says, release him, hang him, give him some compensation. So from the energy point of view, this person is utilizing a lot more energy, isn't it? 8 hours of heavy work. And the magistrate, for him, he just says, so case dismissed. That's it. So Prabhupada says, how much is that clerk paid? In those days, about 40 rupees a month. And how much is the magistrate getting a salary? 2000 rupees a month. So from that point of view, is it proportionate? Work hard all day and only 40 rupees? And just sit there and say something, release him. So the difference is, that clerk can also say, I also can sit there and say, hang him, release him, give him some compensation. But if you ask him, why? He says, I don't know, I just have a few things I have heard. Somebody should be hanged, somebody should be released, somebody should be paid some compensation. So that is the difference. When you ask somebody why, then you know whether they have knowledge or not. So, I'm going to concentrate on one particular point of this verse, that is lamentation. And we'll see a few verses from the Bhagavad Gita, where the Gita begins with Arjuna lamenting. In fact, the first chapter is called Arjuna Vishad Yoga. Vishad is lamentation. And it's really a very pitiable thing to see somebody of the stature of Arjuna, a friend of Krishna, a great warrior. The Mahabharata has account after account filled with what he did. He fought with Lord Shiva once. He fought with Gandharvas. He was a great warrior. And for such a person to come to the state of Gandivam Samsrate Hasta Twakchaiva Paridayate, he says, my bow is slipping. My mind is reeling. Brahmativacham me mana. Brahma is Brahman. My mind is revolving at like 360 degrees. I can't see. My mouth is drying. Mukham cha parishushyati. My skin is burning. Twak paridayate. So Krishna is seeing all these symptoms. Why is he not giving knowledge? Why is he not giving the proper medicine? Because Arjuna has not surrendered yet. By nature, this material world is filled with one calamity after another. Padam padam yat vipadam. Pada means your foot. Pada means your step. Pada also means a secured position. And vipada is where there is no security. You are just thrown off the road practically. Like a vehicle on the road hits a boulder and just goes off the road. That's vipada. It is remarked by Sripad Madhvacharya that if you calculate a particular living entity with millions and millions of lifetimes before him and the kind of calamities which that living entity has experienced and the tears in all kinds of bodies, they will fill up the world's oceans. That many tears practically all of us have actually shed. Not that we are about to shed, we actually have done it. And it is still continuing. In one verse, Krishna seems to say, hey, look, either you get killed and go to the heavenly kingdom, enjoy there, or win this battle and enjoy this kingdom over here. Hato va prapsasi swargam, jito va bhunkshate mahim. But don't lament. Lamentation is something which will not get you anywhere. So this is 2.17. He says, avinashitu tad viddhi yena sarvam idam tatam. Vinasham avyasyasya tasmat shochitum arhasi. Why lament? Avinashi, you should understand that the soul is eternal. And then it goes from 2.17 to 25, 26, 27, 28, 30. One after another, I have never seen such repetition. And that too for only one point. Avaktyoyam, achintyoyam. You don't understand. The soul can never be, the soul is transcendental. The soul can be never be understood by any material means. It cannot be, he's already told about how it cannot be burned by fire. It's interesting to note that he has mentioned fire, water, air. Why? Because these were the astras in Arjuna's quiver. Because Arjuna is a warrior, he's been given warrior examples. That the soul can't be cut by any weapon. The soul can't be burned by fire. He has a fire weapon. The soul can't be withered by the wind. He has a vayu weapon. If Arjuna would have been a potter, it would have been some pottery example. If it would have been a IT consultant, he would have said that there can be no virus which can enter into the soul, or you can't really codify the soul's origin. Yeah, it is true. The Gita is eternal, but doesn't mean that Krishna is saying, I spoke the same knowledge to the sun god. Now the sun god was not going to fight an army, and he was not bewildered by whether I am supposed to kill my grandfather or kill my teacher. So it's not like the same verses are there for the sun god. It could be something else. Right now, that same knowledge has been given to so many different recipients of this knowledge. It's eternal. And that's why it is fresh. Right now, as we are speaking about the Bhagavad Gita, the Gita is being spoken by Krishna in some universe. So that's why it's relevant, that's why it's special, that's why it's fresh. In 2.26, Krishna says, well, if you, now I don't suppose, Arjuna, you would be liking some atheistic opinion, but atha chainam nitya jatam nityam va manyase hatam. If you think, I don't think that you think like that, but in case, in a mood of bewilderment, people do some kind of crazy things. So you feel that the soul is created at the time of birth, and at the time of death the soul is destroyed. It's not proper, this is not Vedic knowledge, but why lament? What will lamentation avail? What will that get you? Where will that get you? Then he says, Jatasya hi dhruva mrityur, dhruvam janma mrityasya cha, tasmad aparihariyate natvam shochitum harasi. Don't lament. For one who is born, death is certain. For one who is dead, birth is certain. Next he says, avaktadini bhutani, vyakta madhyani bharata. The soul is, the body is unmanifest before it takes form. After death it is again unmanifest. Tatra ka paridevana, why lament? And the last, 2.30, dehi nityam avadyo ayam. Avadya, the dehi cannot be killed. And Krishna's final conclusion is, so don't lament. Now after having such a battery of assaults on this one particular piece of ignorance, we can understand how much Krishna seems this thing to be important. We'll again touch upon one social aspect of lamentation later, but right now we'll just understand all of Vedic literature, it has a objective, it has an end point, and that is to save the living entity from unnecessarily lamenting. Now shoka or shocha, both are synonyms, they also have a spiritual perspective. Or they also, there is also a spiritual emotion called lamenting. Because we also see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all he did in Jagannath Puri was crying. So for many, many years among educated Indians, this was a misconception that to be a Vaishnav is just an ignorant fool and he's just like Ha Radhe, Ha Krishna, and he's just crying. Now this crying can be easily imitated. So Prabhupada was very careful that in his International Society for Krishna Consciousness, we don't become like in a premature state try to understand what is this spiritual lamentation. But there are hints in Prabhupada's own Leela. There is a picture, one devotee, I thought maybe it's a lady or something, I don't remember the name. They were changing location from one place to another, and Prabhupada had one last look at that particular spot where they had their center. And she just took a picture. And later when the pictures were developed, they showed Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, you look kind of sad here. Why is that? And Prabhupada said, oh, you don't understand spiritual emotion. So sad doesn't mean that over a loss or especially a material feeling of loss. Prabhupada said, that was ecstasy. He didn't elaborate, but I heard devotees saying that how Krishna is kind, we were here and then now he has given us a better place. All these kinds of things could be true. What actually is in Prabhupada's mind, we can never know. But certainly, lamenting is a highly prized spiritual emotion. But you need to invest a lot in that. We are still in the realm of material lamentation. And material lamentation is like that story of a Bhagavad Saptah going on. And one man especially was so fond of the speaker that as the days went by, he was sitting at the back, then the middle, and the last 2 days he was practically very close. And he noticed, the speaker noticed. So he said, you seem to like my recitation very much. Which part of the katha really touched you? So he said, well, not exactly like that. But the day I came here and I saw you, you have a long beard and I had a he-goat. He also had a beard like that and I was very fond of him. But of course then I sold him for slaughter. But then after seeing your beard, it reminded me of him. And then I was very happy. You know, he proved to be a very fine specimen. So this can happen. You might think about Harikatha, but this fellow was thinking about a goat. There is one instance where just by singing Radha Madhav, Prabhupada was stunned and tears started flowing. The kartal slipped from his hands. rolled on the floor, hit the body of a sannyasi and stopped there. And all this was happening very fast. And everybody was looking at each other, what should be done? Should we record this? Should we applaud? Should we remain silent? Should we pray? And nobody knew actually what is supposed to be done, but one devotee just picked up the kartals and loudly started chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And Prabhupada came out of that trance, and they said, Srila Prabhupada, if something like this happens to you, what are you supposed to do? So Prabhupada's answer was, this doesn't happen to me all the time. And he changed the topic. He said, now class. So he spoke on that particular topic. So it was very difficult. Srila Prabhupada once said, I wish I could have somebody of my stature with whom I can exchange emotions. Because if you show them before neophytes, they can easily misconstrue it. Now there are societies where the only sadhana they do is lament like the gopis. And it's all a tear-jerker party. It's all just jerking tears. So when Prabhupada was told, he said, look, those kind of artificial tears, they wash away the Vedic conclusions. In case you might have brushed on somebody a few of the conclusions, these kind of false tears wash them away. So we have to be very careful. So it seems like if you plot our lamentation on a graph, it's like material life, high point of lamentation, very high on the y-axis. And then as you perform sadhana bhakti, your lamenting at least for material things come down, very near the x-axis. Finally, at one point of time, it is zero. Why? You no longer lament for anything which is lost from the material point of view. In English, they say, good riddance to bad rubbish. So, devotees, when they see that things are being taken away, it is mostly good riddance. Oh, thank God it's gone. I never needed it anyway. Or, I had it. This is a very powerful thought. I had it by my own karma. Now it is being taken away by my own karma. If needed, Krishna will give me whenever it is due. If there is something which I need, Krishna will give. And there is a very powerful verse in the Gajendra Moksha Sutra. We'll see that soon. So, in full Krishna consciousness, we have these verses from the Bhagavad which say, Shoka moha bhaya apaha apahinoti. Completely removing away. Here it is said, Atma shosha. Lamentation dries up the soul, but pure sadhana bhakti dries up lamentation. It's like you take a tawa, a pan, and lit up a fire below it, and then as many as, like for making dosa, you have to put some water on it. As soon as you sprinkle, if it is hot, everything gets dry immediately. So there is a point where lamentation is, it's not just it is less, no. It is very clear. At one point of time, your material lamentation has to actually touch that x-axis. It has to be zero. And then, as you progress more and more, then the spiritual emotions, they start coming. Rupa Goswami describes this. ప్రణయభర మృదులతర యువతిగణ శోచితం ఇన్ ఏ వెరీ బ్యూటిఫుల్ ప్రేయర్ బై కంపోజ్ బై రూప గోస్వామి కాల్డ్ ద అష్టాదశ ఛందస్తవ. ఈ సేజ్ లార్డ్ కృష్ణ ఈజ్ ద ఆబ్జెక్ట్ ఆఫ్ ప్రణయభర మృదులతర ద మోస్ట్ డెలికేట్ గోపీగణ హీఈస్ ద ఆబ్జెక్ట్ ఆఫ్ దేర్ లెమెంటేషన్. సో కృష్ణ ఆల్సో లెమెంట్స్. We see how in Dwarka, Krishna is repeating the names of Radha all the time. So he is lamenting. The gopis of Vrindavan, they are lamenting. And therefore any caustic observer might feel, hey, this is the same thing. I was lamenting in my material life. Now I come to the spiritual realm and again I am lamenting. No, there is a vast difference. The difference between the two is that these are eternal associates. So, this is a verse from the Gajendra Moksha Stotra. This is Gajendra praying. Gunarani chinna gunarani channa chid ushmapaya tatkshobha visvurjita manasaya naishkarmya bhavena vivarjita agama swayam prakashaya namaskaromi. Gunarani. Arani is a type of wood favored by those who do yajñas. Previously, yajñas were not, the homa was not lit with either a lighter or matchstick or some petrol, diesel, whatever. Arani wood would be rubbed. Two pieces of arani wood would be rubbed against each other. And the fire within wood would be invoked. It is said that this one condition itself is enough to dispel the doubt that yajna is not for this age. I mean, we do it just to attract those who are attracted to yajnas. Krishna Balaram temple was being, the deities of Krishna Balaram were established, and as per the tradition in Vrindavan, they had invited Rigvedi Brahmanas. And they were chanting those Rigvedi Ruchas with such gusto and with such exact meter, chanda. And so it was looking grand. At the same time, Prabhupada had told some devotees that you keep on doing kirtan in a particular corner. He says, this kirtan should never stop. And the Rigvedis came and they left. And then Prabhupada gave a lecture saying that Krishna and Balaram have come here at the invitation of this Sankirtan. The chanting of Hare Krishna has invited them. Not because these Brahmanas were chanting here. But because people will not come. Because people will feel that, oh, this, what is this installation? Just Hare Krishna, that's all. So for them, we have to just do something. This is PR. So, exactly. And then he said that keep on chanting. Otherwise, you will look upon the deities as a kind of burden given by your guru. In fact, Prabhupada joked that this rascal guru has given us this burden and now we have to worship these deities all the time. It is such a burden. There is a word for it, galagraha, a burden around your neck. So he says, if you don't chant, the deities will become from Archa Vigraha to Galagraha. Please don't let that happen. So, Arani wood, that's how a living entity is. We are all like that. Dead food. Prabhupada explains in the purport. But, Guna Arani Channa Chid Ushmapaya. O my Lord, you are actually covered. And just like when the two pieces of, those two sticks of arani wood are rubbed, fire comes out, you come out. Tadakshobha vispurjita manasaya. Your mind is never agitated. The living entity's minds are always agitated. Naishkarmya bhavena vivajita agama. Those whose minds are fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna, for them, the Vedic rules don't have any meaning. I was listening to a class on the 10th canto by Radha Govind Maharaj. He gave this example. What exactly is the meaning of I don't need to follow rules and regulations? At least from my point of view, sometimes I feel fed up. That's why I don't want to follow them. But there is a stage where actually you don't need to follow. Case in point is when the gopis come to Krishna in the dead of night, they have given up their parivar dharma, kutumba dharma, even deha dharma. They are not taking care of their bodies even. They have risked their reputation. And Krishna, what does he do? He starts teaching them civil life. He starts teaching them simple codes of proper behavior. That it is a dead of night, there could be wild animals here, serpents, tigers, boars. And so I played the flute, you came, Hare Krishna, you can go back. So they start chastising Krishna, that don't teach us this kind of simple dharma now. We don't care about it. Very easy for us to imitate. So Radha Govind Maharaj gives this example. Like somebody is driving a vehicle, let's say 7K Munshi Marg, and there is some, just 2 days ago there was some curfew, some routes were closed. And if you want somebody to come to Pune, so somebody is guiding you, okay, don't take the Baikala Highway, Baikala route, take the Western Express Highway, come to Bandra, then come to Sion, then from Chembur, Panvel, and then take the freeway, and then you can come to Pune. Makes sense. Because it's an emergency, some routes are closed. What if that person is saying, so our helicopter has left, there is a helipad, and we are now on the way to Pune. Still he requires the same guidelines, that take a left turn, then there is a signal, and then take a right turn, and that route is closed. He may say, please understand, I am in a helicopter. There is no left, right, and green, yellow, and red here. Straight away I am coming to Pune, reaching there in 45 minutes. So he may say, how is it possible? According to my plan, it takes almost 4 hours. So that is a problem. You first of all understand where is this particular devotee situated. Then you understand whether he needs rules and regulations or not. The rules and regulations are meant to generate love of Krishna. So if somebody already has love of Krishna and then he is bewildered, that means he is acting bewildered. While in sadhana bhakti, we are bewildered but we act like we have love of God. I mean, I can catch myself so many times doing that. If somebody asks a question that how do we chant? Oh, then I can say chant with purity and chant with attention and chant with upright back and never ever leave this process. So, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj said, it helps. Not that even in a neophyte stage when you preach, it doesn't help. He says, because teaching is to learn twice. You learn once when you read yourself, and when you speak to others, that reminds you that I have told others to do it. I better also do it at least to some extent. The Vedas also assure us that if you keep on repeating the purity of the pure message, your tongue starts becoming pure, your heart starts becoming pure. So, this particular Garyendra Moksha prayer is so significant and a very, very simple way in which Prabhupada explains. Swayam Prakashaya. On this particular word, Prabhupada says, please understand that knowledge in Krishna consciousness is not to be understood by reading books. You may say, but we have so many books, just we distribute so many of them. Well, it is not by only reading books that you can gain knowledge. The books teaches, and this is that critical line, to accept the lotus feet of Krishna in our hearts. That is the crucial part. So I was just reading this, the 8th canto purport, and I was thinking, we are told, like there are so many questions, what is the meaning of lotus feet? In fact, when Prabhupada began his writing his purports and discussing, for many in the Western world, what's the lotus feet? I mean, feet is okay, sacred feet, but what is lotus? Now, of course, that has become part of our lingo, and we may use in a sarcastic way also, please bring your lotus feet here, you know. Or in the ashram, we say, please remove your lotus feet, I have to open my locker. But actually, the lotus is significant. The lotus is a favorite flower of Vyasadeva. There is so much of lotus, those are lotus. It is fragrant, it is delicate, but more than anything, it has one sterling quality. It doesn't take any of the qualities of its surroundings. One word for lotus is pankaja. Punk, not the Western meaning of punk, but it's quite similar. Punk means mud. Now, I don't know whether they also like those punk rockers, they have mud or something, but something reprehensible. So, pankaja, that which originates in surroundings which are very bad, inferior, deteriorating, but it doesn't take any quality of its surroundings. So Krishna's lotus feet, or your Guru's lotus feet, it seems to be in this material world, but it's not a product of this material world. In fact, every day we sing Narottam Das Thakur's prayers, Guru Mukha Padma, Sri Guru Charana Padma, everything is Padma, Padma, Padma. So we are told to accept the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, and the simplest thing actually which I really appreciate, this particular explanation, Prabhupada said, lotus feet means service, simple. You want lotus feet of Krishna in your heart, begin service. Service begins with the tongue, that means chanting, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. So Rukmini doesn't have to do something artificial to accept Krishna's lotus feet. She has all of Krishna in front of her. In fact, Krishna dragged her off her lotus feet and brought her on his chariot. So certainly she doesn't need this instruction. This is just a pastime. Finally, lamenting also has a social connotation. And that's what we'll end with. Normally we don't have such a technical analysis of in a society which segment laments or which doesn't lament. And I was very sort of happy to read that actually Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, they never lament. Whatever might happen, a zamindar, a landlord, went to a teacher and said, I see that for many years you are serving the local community, you have students coming here, I would like to give you something. Can I? So he said, I have this house where I stay with my family, we have a tamarind tree here, I have a small patch where I grow my rice. There is a pond where I take my bath. Every day, my wife takes some tamarind leaves and makes some soup, some dal-like thing out of it. We grow our rice. These boys, they give me some butter or ghee or milk. We have a cow. So what more can I ask? So he said, look at this Brahmana. It is a turn of the landlord to get surprised. How can somebody live so simply? And since it must have happened, Prabhupada mentioned this once or twice in his classes. Kshatriyas like Bhima in the court of Maharaj Virat, they had to stay incognito. And Bhima was Ballav, the cook. And Draupadi came to him and said, this rascal Kichak is making advances towards me. So Yudhishthir Maharaj was the king's advisor. Arjun, 1 year of emergency duty as a eunuch, Brihannala. Nakul and Sahadev, the stable boys. You can't imagine what kind of situation the Pandavas were in. And they would meet sometimes. So, when Draupadi started lamenting that normally women have one husband and they are happy with this protection, I am supposed to be 5 times happy. I have 5 illustrious husbands. Why can't any one of you do something? So Yudhishthir Maharaj was always dharma, speaking from that point of view, that this is not the time to expose ourselves. It will bring more misery. So that time, during those meetings, Bhima's arms would be like, oh, I can't bear any of this. So finally, Yudhishthir Maharaj agreed on a plan, and Draupadi told Kichak that, seems that you are really appreciative of my beauty, so why don't you come at this particular time of the night, in this particular corner? And Kichak was like beside himself with joy. He says, oh, finally she understood how handsome and how rich I am. And there was, with a veil covering his head, Bhima sitting there waiting for Kichak. And the moment he came and tried to embrace what he thought was Draupadi, oh my, he got pummeled and punched and kicked and beaten so much that the next day all that was seen was just a ball of flesh. And people started saying, people could put 2 and 2 together, that Kichak was after Draupadi and he went to meet her somewhere for sure. She said, didn't I tell you that I have Gandharvas who are my husbands and this is what they do? So Kshatriyas never lament. There was a plague in Calcutta and no business, people were dying, and one Marwadi businessman was making money. He came to understand that the British doctors in their laboratory, they need rats for their experiments. So he had a team of people who would catch rats and sell. The point we are trying to understand is, a Brahmana, by the dint of his austerity, he never laments. A Kshatriya, on his Bahubal, on his biceps power, he never laments. They may die, they may face adversities, but they don't sort of start wailing. Oh, look at me, I can't take it anymore. And Vaishyas, Prabhupada says, when the market goes down, he makes money. It goes up, it makes money. That's the only definition of a Vaishya. Compared to that, in the social fabric of today, it's no wonder that Prabhupada said, all Shudras. Without exception, all of us Shudras. Why? One devotee came from England, my last point. He had a BA in arts history and he was a topper, and a bank recruited him and he's selling some bank schemes. So I asked him that, do you see any connect between what you learned for your BA and what you're doing for a living? He said, this is exactly the same question I asked my HR boss, human resources department, which recruit people. He said, look, we go after the toppers because they are trainable. I said, what do you mean trainable? That means they can sell anything what we tell them.
We really don't need to know what they have studied, that is ceramics or pottery or embroidery or cooking. If they are toppers, they can sell anything, and that's what we want. Gosh, can you understand that this is what this education in this world is making us? Just trainable. We can sell anything, therefore anybody can give us a job. And one person who always flaunts his certificate and says, I am employable, give me a job, who's he? He's a Shudra. The first time I read, I was offended. I said, me, Shudra? Why should I be called Shudra? But the Shudra always laments. And especially, this lamentation is, oh, what a glorious past we had. Or, what a glorious future I will be having if I invest my money in this scheme, or if I just live here, or if I buy that gadget, or if I wear those clothes. So a happiness for a Shudra was something which happened in the past or is soon going to happen now. Future. Never in the present. And one aspect of a very balanced spiritual personality is the art and the ability to live in the moment. If this is how Krishna has kept me now, there has to be some reason. Let me understand the lessons behind something. If I am given a big bonanza, I should be proud. There must be a reason behind it. If there's a big adversity, same thing. There could be a reason behind it. Let me learn the lesson behind it. So through the lessons, through the example of Rukmini, we see Balaram giving, as I think Sunday Maharaj spoke, exact similar instructions as we find given to Arjuna on a chariot, here too, on a battlefield, different setting, but Balaramji is giving similar kind of instructions. So we'll stop here. Thank you for your attention. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.